The younger choir singing. That's probably one of my favorite songs that younger choir sings. Talking about how special we are. I must be special, for He paid a special price for me. The one who had it all, gave it all when He died on Calvary. You know what? When God sent His Son, did you know it bankrupted all of heaven? Did you know it bankrupted everything heaven had? The best heaven had, God sent it all. And it was displayed in His Son. Did you know that? The very heir to the throne, it's Jesus Christ, His Son, the only begotten of the Father. And you know what? God looked over at His Son and said, "Son, you're going to have to go." He said, "You're going to be that lamb." He said, time and time again in that high priest, they would go up there and that lamb would walk in. And He said they would cut that thing and they'd put their hands on it, basically transferring their sins to that sins as symbolism, showing what that lamb's going to be. They had that other lamb, which was known as the scapegoat. They'd kill that one lamb and take His blood and put it on that other lamb. They'd kick it out. And they said, "We're never going to see that lamb again. That, our sins are gone." But you know what? God looked over there and said, "That's going to be My Son." You know, God didn't, He didn't just cover our sin. I thank God He removed our sin. I'm glad He took our sins and nailed them to His cross. Nailed them to the cross of Calvary. And I'm glad whenever the devil comes by and he says, "Where's your sins at?" I'll say, "You have to go to Calvary to get them. They're hanging there on that cross." And I'm thankful my sins are covered. It's good to be in the church this morning. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you being in prayer for the service and you being in prayer for our pastor and Miss Cindy. They're sick and they can't be here. And I know they would be here if they could, but they're just not able. They're sick this morning. So you be in prayer for them. So much sickness is going on in the church. I know Miss Martha and Miss Ola, be in prayer for them. Miss May, she'll be starting her treatments. Be in prayer for her. Be in prayer for the ones that lost loved ones, those who are dealing with grief. Pray that the Holy Ghost would comfort them. We know that the Bible says that His grace is sufficient. And I'm just here to say that His grace is sufficient. I don't know what your need is, and you don't know what my need is, but you know what? I know He can meet all our needs. He is sufficient. So you've been praying for each and every one of those requests. Is there any other announcements before you get started with the message this morning? Our brother, he's going to present his graduation project or his senior project. We're going to allow him to do that at the end of the service. I'm going to go ahead and preach and share what God has on my heart. And then we'll let him present and take as much time as he wants to at the end of the service. But I feel like I just need to get this message off of my heart. And I don't want to get anything, get in front of God or anything like that. I believe that God wants to do something. You be in prayer this morning that God would just do something that would have an impact throughout all eternity. I'm not talking about we could leave and just say, "Man, that was a good message." It just kind of stirs us up for a little while, then we just go right back into the norm. Now let's pray God would just shake us this morning. Pray that God would just break us this morning. Get us out of that comfort zone. Give us out of that, just that place of just being rocked to sleep. Just that careless motion of activity. Just that ritual, just going through the motions. Just that procedures. Let's get out of that this morning. Let's just pray and ask God, "Lord, would You do something for Your honor and glory? Do something for You. Do it and then honor Your Son. Lord, save someone today. I tell you, it'd be good someone to weep their way to Calvary and get birthed in the family of God." Now, let's pray someone out of hell this morning. Let's pray that God would do a work. I tell you, I believe He wants to. The Bible says He's not willing any should perish, but all come to repentance. He's able. He's willing. He can. He wants to. But I don't think the church wants Him to. God help us to be in prayer this morning. If you got your Bible this morning, hold that thing up in the air. Give it a little wave this morning. Loosen up a little bit, all right? That worries the devil when you hold that sword up, waving it around this morning. It's good to smile this morning, but I appreciate that. Are you glad you saved this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Turn in Acts chapter number 9 this morning. Acts chapter number 9. I'll be conscious of the time. Pastor messaged me this morning at about 3:30 and told me that he was sick and everything, and I didn't know if I was preaching or not. I didn't actually find out I was preaching until about 7 or so this morning. So running on a few hours of sleep this morning. But I feel good. I normally get a couple hours of sleep, but I got a message from God, and I know this is a message for this hour. I know this is a message for this appointed time. We'll never meet again like we are today. I tell you, we'll never meet again like we are this morning. You know what? You pray that God would do something today. God ain't going to do it because of who I am. God's going to do it in spite of me and because of who He is. I tell you, think about who God is and what God's done. How high He is and how low we are. We're nothing in the sight of Almighty God. We're nothing. You know what He sees when He sees us? He sees just the dust. You know why? Because that's what we are. We're just made from the dust of the ground. That's all God is. He's never had high expectation out of any of us. Because all we are but dust. But you know what? I'm glad the Bible says over there, "What is man that thou art mindful for him? And the son of man that thou visitest him." I say, I'm not worthy to be here today. I'm not worthy to stand this morning. I'm not worthy to stand behind this pulpit, Brother John. But you know what? Because of Him, I'm worthy. Because of Him, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been placed upon my life, I say I'm something this morning. Apart from Christ, I'm nothing. But you know what? I'm something in Him. I'm something through Him. And I pray to God, God will be able to work through me this morning. You be in prayer. But turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. When you find your place, will you please stand and walk under the reading of God's Word this morning? Acts chapter number 9. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." Verse 3 says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." And I'm going to stop reading right there. And I just want to preach with God's help this morning on a simple title. The message this morning would be, have you had a Damascus experience? Have you had a Damascus experience? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again, be seated this morning. As I began studying and thinking on this verse about having a Damascus experience, here we find a man by the name of Paul. Here we find a man named by Saul. His name is changed to Paul. But here we find a man named Saul. I might use his name as Saul and Paul, but whenever I say the name, I'm talking about the same man. I'm talking about Paul, what God's going to do through him and use him in a mighty way. We find this man named Paul. He's not just an average person. He's not just an average individual. If you do a little bit of reading of your Bible and a little bit of study about Paul and who Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was a Pharisee. He said, "I'm from the strictest sect of the Pharisees." He said, "I was zealous," according to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. He said, according to the law, he said, "I was blameless." He said, "I held up to that standard." He said, "I lived as right as a man could be." He said, "I walked so close." He said, "I did what was right." He said, "Concerning the law, I was blameless." He said, "I was zealous." He said, "I was a Pharisee. I was from the tribe of Benjamin." He said, "I was all these things." He said, "But that really didn't matter." Later on, you know what he said? He said, "I count them but dung that I may know him, that I may win Christ." He said, "All those things really don't matter, but he matters." I tell you, I believe a lot of times we focus upon things that really don't matter. You know, let's just get beyond the formality of everything. Just get beyond just worship, just all them, just singing those songs. Let's get beyond all that and just worshiping. Let's just get beyond Him. Let's just get beyond those routines and all that. Let's just center in on the Lord for a little bit. Let's just exalt Him this morning. Let's just lift up that name that's above every name. The Bible says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." He said, "If you lift up the name of Christ," he said, "I'll do the work." He said, "You just lift up my Son. You give Him praise. You give Him honor. You give Him the things that He deserves, and I'll start stirring once again. I'll start moving once again. I'll start being God in the house once again. I'll start coming. I'll start walking up and down the aisle. I'll start touching each and every heart. I'll start waking those Christians up. I'll start be moving. I'll start be getting worship in my house once again." I tell you, we need to get back to that old time worship and having God in the center of all things. I tell you, I don't believe God needs to just be the center of the church. I believe that God needs to be the center of our own life. And our individual, He should be the center of the church. He should be the center of your home. He should be in the center of your life. Everything that you do, it should be in the center. God should be there. Here we find Paul. We find Paul. He wasn't just an average person. He thought he was doing right. He thought he was living right. He thought he was doing God's will. You see, these Pharisees, they were religious leaders. They rejected Christ. They said, "He's not the one. The one we're looking for, He's going to come in power. The one we're looking for, He's going to come in and just triumph. He's going to set up His throne. He's going to set up kingdom. He's going to rule. He's going to do all these things. That's the one we're looking for." But you see, they missed Him because they wasn't looking for Him. They was looking for the other thing. Can I tell you, He is coming back. He's going to sit upon the throne of David. He's going to come into Jerusalem. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to do all those things. He has all power in heaven and earth. He is going to occupy that throne of David. But you know what? That's talking about His second coming. I tell you, they were focused on His second coming, not His first coming. I tell you, in His first coming, He came lowly. He came humble. He came a servant. You know why? Because that's what a servant does. A servant, nobody cares about a servant. I tell you, that's the way He came. I said, well, no, we're not looking for a servant. We're looking for a king. But you know what? I'm glad he came a servant. I'm glad he came low. The Bible says that he that was rich became poor. That you know what? That we might become rich. I'd say he left it all. I'm glad he came down to the bottom. You know why? Because I was at the bottom. You know, because he came to the bottom. He took me to the top. I'm glad I'm not at the bottom no more. The Bible says he made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. I tell you, I'm glad that we can have fellowship with God. I'm glad that we can be reconciled back to God. I'm glad that we can have fellowship with our Creator. I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. I tell you what Paul did. Paul said, I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what I think is right. He said, I heard from that. He said, I'm right. But you know what? Listen to this. He was to summarize everything this morning, what Paul was. Paul was just a religious man doing what he was taught and doing what he was thought was right. He was doing what he was taught by these all the customs, keeping all those laws and those things. That they took God's law and they elevated it. They said, well, what Moses really meant concerning marriage, it was this, but what he really meant, it was this. They took it to a higher standard. Well, the law says this and this, but what it really meant was this. You see, they put their own spin on the law. Whenever you exalt the God's law, whenever you have higher standards than God, you got a problem. I say, I believe God meant what he said, and he says what he meant. Hey, just take God at his word. You see what these Pharisees did? They said, well, we're going to be better. If God expects this, we're going to do this. And you see, doing that, they just was harsh on everybody but themselves. That's what a Pharisee is. You know what? They're critical on everybody but themselves. They find fault with everybody but themselves. They're pointing fingers, but you know what? The real problem's themselves. But here's a man named Paul. He said, I'm a religious man. I'm doing what I was taught, and I'm doing what I think is right. But you know what? Just because you think you're right this morning, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 2, every man is right in his own eyes. Paul said, I'm a religious man. I'm doing what's right, or at least I think. I'm doing what I was taught, and that's right. As far as I think it is. You see, you might be here this morning doing what you were taught. Saying, well, as long as I'm just a good person, as long as I just go to church, as long as I abide by the golden rule, doing to others as they have them doing to me, as long as I attend church, and as long as I do this and be a good person, everything's going to be all right. I tell you, you might be right in your own eyes. Are you right in the eyes of the Lord? You might be right in your own eyes. You might be examining yourself saying, okay, I think I'm right. I go to church. I tithe. I read my Bible. I try to pray. I try to abstain from those wicked things. I don't drink alcohol. I don't look at pornography. I don't do drugs. I listen to mom and dad. I respect my wife. I listen to my husband. I do all these things. So I'm right. I'm right with God. I tell you, you might do all those things and you might not be right with God. Can I tell you, how are you right this morning? So, preacher, I'm right. In whose eyes? Well, according to what I think, I'm right. Well, what about what God thinks? Can I tell you, you might examine your life by what you think, but how is your life examined by this book? How is your life examined when God looks at it? I say, how are you this morning? Paul said, I think I'm right. But you know what? According to this book, he wasn't right. He was going against God. He was killing the early church. He was killing the church. He was persecuting them. I tell you, he thought he was right in his own eyes. He was doing what he was taught. He was doing what he thought was right. I tell you this morning, are you right with God? According to who? According to you or according to God? I tell you secondly today, Paul. Paul's doing what was right in the eyes of others. Look at verse number 2. Or look, verse number 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he be found found any this way, that's talking about the being a follower of Christ, being a Christian, being one of those turning away from their beliefs of Judaism and kind of bringing on the following of Christ. This way, that's what it pertains to, being a follower of Christ. He said if he find any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see what Saul did. Saul thought he was doing what was right. Saul thought he was good. You know what he did? He went to the high priest. And you think about a high priest. High priest went before God. He's the one that did the sins. He was the one in the temple. He was the one in the position. And he went to the high priest, and the high priest said, yep, here's your letters. I approve what you're doing. I'm commissioning you to go and get those people. And you think Paul saying, okay, here's a high priest who's in the temple working. He says, if he gives me those letters, he's putting his stamp of approval on what I'm doing. I must be right with God. I must be doing what God wants me to do because that's what the high priest tells me. Can I tell you, you might be right in the eyes of others and still be wrong with God. I tell you, you might be right in the eyes of your pastor. You might be right in the eyes of your children. You might be right in the eyes of your wife, your husband. You might be right in the eyes of the deacon. You might be right in the eyes of this whole church. But how are you in the eyes of God? I tell you, Paul said, I'm okay. I think what I'm doing is right. I'm doing what I was taught according to the customs and all those laws. I'm living up to that standard. I'm even going to the high priest, and he's saying, you're good. Here's the letters. You got approval from me. Being the high priest, you got my stamp of approval. You go and do. Here Paul is saying, I'm right. But you know what? He wasn't concerning the Lord. I tell you, you might be here today thinking you're doing right, and you're actually wrong. I tell you, I'll get right. I wouldn't wait. I tell you, I'll get right with God. Have you had a Damascus experience? Oh, preacher, I don't know what that means. Have you had a head-on collision with the King of Glory? Have you ran into Him? Has He knocked you off your horse yet? Have you came to the very fact that He is God and He is Lord and we are nothing? Have you ever come to the fact and the realization that we ain't as good as we think we are? We ain't as right as we think we are? We're not as holy as we think we are? We're not as righteous as we think we are? You see, we might be righteous according to other people. We might be holy according to other people. But you know what? Whenever I examine my life between you and you examine your life between me, you know what? One of us might be better than the other. But you know what? When we examine our light in the light of the cross, when we examine our life according to Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who knew no sin, the one who had no defile coming out of His mouth, the one who walked a perfect walk, the one who didn't have an error in His way. He never walked a crooked path. He never said a sinful word. He never touched anything that was sinful. He never had a wicked thought enter His mind. He was perfect. He was holy. He was high. He was all those things. He was right and He was Lord. Whenever we compare our life to Him, I tell you, we fall short. We don't even stand in comparison to Him. Can I tell you, He's off the chart. Because He's whole. He's high. And He's holy. I tell you, that's who He is. We don't stand in comparison when we measure up to Him. We might be right according to you or according to me. One of us is bound to be better. But you know what? When we stand before Him, we don't even stand close. Because that's who God is. I tell you, that's what Paul was confronted with when he was on his way down there. You see in verse number 2, it says, and desired him letters to Damascus into the synagogue, where he would be found in the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. He was going just going about his own way, doing what he had planned to do. He said, I went to the temple. He said, I got letters from the high priest, got his stamp of approval. I'm doing what I was trained. I'm doing what I was commissioned. I'm doing everything that was right in my own eyes. He said, on the path we go, I'm just taking my journey. I'm going to another everyday life. I'm going about my own business. And you know what happened? God ran right into him.
Amen.
God just showed up and said, what do you think you're doing? He said, what do you think you're doing, Saul? Look what the Bible says. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see what was going on. Paul thought he was doing what was right. Paul thought he was honoring God. Paul thought he was good. And you know what God said? Jesus spoke up and said, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, why are you going against me? Why are you doing those things? He said, I don't understand. Look what he said in verse number 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? You see what Paul was doing? He said, whoever that is, that has to be the Lord. He said, him shining that light down here, him blinding me, me falling to the earth, me humbling myself, what I've realized, he said, there ain't no question about it. Whoever that is talking, he is the Lord. You see, he wasn't saying, who art thou, Lord, showing him bread. He wasn't doing that. He was questioning. You see what that Bible is? That's a question mark. He wasn't saying, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? You know what he was saying? He was questioning that. He said, whoever that is talking, whoever just shone that light down from heaven, whoever that is, he is the Lord. I don't know who he is, but he is the Lord. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I don't know who you are, but I know you're the Lord. And look what the Bible says. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. He said, I am Jesus. I'm thankful that Jesus is Lord this morning. I say, I'm thankful that Jesus is Lord this morning. I say, he's not just a prophet. He's not just someone that was good. He's not just a good man. I tell you, he is the Son of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. I tell you, he is high and holy. He is all those things. He's a good shepherd. He's all those things. I'm thankful for Jesus being Lord this morning. I tell you, that's what happened whenever Saul came to him. Saul went to the high priest and got his approval. But you know what? The greater high priest showed up. I tell you, he had the high priest. He got letters from him, but you know what? I'm glad that greater high priest, he showed up. He said, who are you? What are you doing? You're going against me. You're persecuting me. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "Lord, what you have me to do?" He said, "What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Well, what is your purpose for my life?" So he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew he was the Lord. Why? Because he said, "Nobody spoke like that. Nobody ever confronted me like that." He said, "I'm a Pharisee." He said, "I'm up here. I'm holy. I'm walking right. I'm doing what I think is right. I'm blameless according concerning the law. I'm zealous." He said, "Nobody ever talked to me like that. And whoever that is the Lord." And he said, "Who are you?" And that voice said, "I am Jesus, the Lord." He said, "I am Jesus." Aren't you glad Jesus is Lord this morning? I tell you, we can't change that, and I'm glad we can't. The devil can't change that. I'm glad that he's on the throne. In 100 years from now, he's going to be on the throne. In 1,000,000 years from now, he's going to be on that throne. And there's not going to be a time in eternity when he's not going to be occupying that throne. I'm glad he's going to be on that throne forever and ever. And he said, "Who are?" He said, "What would you have me do, Lord?" Another thing, look at what happened. It's verse number 4. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll be done in a few minutes. And the Bible says, "And he fell to the earth." That's showing him humbling himself. That's showing him, I mean, he just knocked him out. He said, "I'm falling in." The Bible says he was trembling. The Bible says that he was scared. He was astonished. You know what that voice said to him? He said, "Saul, Saul." He said his name twice. Aren't you glad for the Lord calling your name? That was the first thing that voice did. I tell you, that voice, Saul didn't know who the Lord was, but you know what? I'm glad that voice still knew who Saul was. Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" "I know you, Lord, but who is that?" But you know what? The Lord said, "Saul, Saul." He knew exactly who that was. He knew exactly who he was confronting. He knew exactly who was standing in the middle of that lot. He said, "Saul, I know who you are." He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And they said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against pricks." He said, "You're going against me." He said, "You're going against God. You're doing exactly contrary to what I want." He said, "You're going the opposite way." He said, "The devil's using you." And he said, I have a work for you to do. I see what I can mold and make you. I see purpose in your life. And I'm calling you. I'm beckoning you to come. Let me transform you. Let me make you into a man. Let me make you into a new creature. One that I can use." And you know what he did? He was obedient. He listened to that. He honored that. He obeyed that. He obeyed that voice. But you know what that voice said? "I am Jesus." And you know what? I'm glad the Scripture says, listen to this, in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, it says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the king and have the keys of hell and of death." Aren't you glad that he's the Lord this morning? Aren't you glad Jesus is Lord this morning? Bible says that name Jesus, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given unto heaven whereby men must be saved." I tell you, that name being Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I tell you, it only is by him. It's not in our name. It's not in our pastor's name. It's not in our church name. It's not in any other name but Jesus. I'm glad my salvation is in Jesus this morning. I'm glad my salvation is of the Lord. I tell you, it's not my salvation, it's his salvation. I believe David said, "Restore unto me thy salvation of the Lord." He said, "Restore unto me." He said, "It's not mine, it's yours." I'm glad he is my salvation. I'm glad my salvation comes from him. I tell you, it's not in my good work this morning. It's not in who I am. It's not in my name and my reputation. It's not in any of those things. Why? Because I'm nothing. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It is in the only begotten of the Father. It is only him that I have hope this morning. I tell you, the Bible talks about in Hebrews, talking about that anchor. He said, "We have an anchor." He said, "It's sure and steadfast." He said, "It goes in that veil." He said, "That thing is hooked in." He said, "We have access to go beyond that veil and that being with the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "We can go before God through the Lord this morning." I say, you think about that. I believe so many times we just get cold and we just get complacent and callous whenever it comes to Jesus. I say, you know what revival is? I believe the pastor, one of the preachers, said it during revival. He says, just falling in love with Jesus all over again. I tell you, whenever he was talking in Revelation to them churches, he didn't say, "I've left you." He said, "I lost you." He said, "No, you left your first love." I tell you, I don't want to ever lose my first love. I don't want to ever lose the compassion and the love that I have toward Calvary, toward my Savior. I tell you, do you remember whenever you heard Calvary for the first time, how it broke your heart? Do you remember when you heard about the love of God? What manner of love is bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? I tell you, think about that Scripture, what it does for your soul. How your heart just overflows this morning, knowing that love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Neither height nor depth nor principalities. Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. The Bible talks about all that things, about what happens in Christ. Like I said earlier, the Bible says, He who was rich became poor, that ye might be, through His riches, we might become rich. I tell you, we were poor, that we might become rich. I tell you, it's not in anything that we've done, anything we possess, but rather who we possess. I tell you, I'm glad that we have a possession this morning, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm glad that He's mine. The Bible says, I'm His and He's mine. I tell you, my beloved is mine. Can I tell you, I love Him this morning. He's everything to me this morning. I tell you, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I tell you, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. He said, there's not going to be a place that you're going to go that I've not already been. I'm glad that whenever I'm on that mountaintop, they said the God of the mountain. He said, He's still God of the valleys. Whenever I'm on that mountaintop, I'm glad He's that star that shines. He's the bright morning star. Can I tell you, when I'm in that valley and I feel like I'm all alone, nobody's there, I'm in the darkness of that valley, you know what? I'm glad there's a rose blooming in that valley. I'm glad that I can find Him in that valley. I'm glad I can find Him in that mountaintop. I can find Him anywhere I go. I'm glad the Lord is still with me. The Holy Ghost abides in me. The Bible says that He abideth in us. He's in us. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. I tell you, He's living inside of me this morning. Can I tell you, God Almighty Himself is living inside of my heart. He possesses me. He's inside of me. He's controlling me. He's leading me. He's molding me. He's making me into the man that I need to be for Him. Can I tell you, does Christ live in you this morning? Does Christ live in you? I'm not asking, are you saved? I'm not asking, have you been born again? Have you signed a card? Have you made a profession? You might say, oh, preacher, I came up to the altar and cried. I'm not asking any of those things. I'm getting down to the heart of the matter. Does Christ live in you? Do you know without a doubt Christ is in me? Can I tell you, John, I know for a fact that He lives in me. Can I tell you, I know that He lives in me. Why? Because He talks to me. He talks to me. I talk to Him. I tell you, He's my friend. He's my best friend. I tell you, I can tell Him what I can tell nobody else. You know what? I don't have to tell Him. He already knows. He knows what breaks my heart. He knows what moves my heart. I tell you, and I know what moves His. I tell you, I believe that's what friends do. Friends shares burdens with each other, John. I tell you, if I had a problem, you know what? I believe I could come to you and confide in you. I could tell you, and you know what? I believe you pray for me. The Bible says in Galatians, talking about, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? I believe the Lord wants us to bear His burden. And what's His burden? To see souls saved. That's the very heartbeat of God from cover to cover in your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's to see souls saved. I mean, it runs through the whole book. You find it in Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all through that thing. There's a crimson flow, that blood. And it's all through Jesus Christ. You can find typologies of Christ. You find it, I mean, pictures of Christ everywhere in that book. You know what it's all about? Seeing souls saved. That's the very cry from the throne of heaven. It's come. You know what He said? He said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. He said, won't you come? He said, just come. Let's work it out. He said, He's calling. Okay, that's what the Lord does. He calls. He sends. He begs. He pleads. He begs with sinners to get right with Him. I tell you, He wouldn't be much of a God if He just said, you know what, they're wicked, and I'm just done with them and just cut us off. But you see, the Bible says He's full of compassion. Over there when Jesus was walking here doing His earthly ministry, the Bible says He looked over there and He saw people. They're having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. You know what the Bible says? He was moved with compassion. I'm glad our Lord is moved with compassion. I'm glad He's moved with the heart of love. He's moved toward us. I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. I'm glad that Jesus is Lord. I tell you, He was Lord, He is Lord, and He's always going to be Lord. There's nothing I can do, there's nothing you can do, there's nothing any demon or devil, hell, there's nothing Satan himself can do to take that throne. I tell you, the world says, well, they're going to become a one, the Antichrist, He's going to set up power, and He's going to do this, and He's going to, everybody's going to believe a lie. You know what, that's going to happen, but you know what? It's going to happen because God allowed it to happen. I tell you, everything Satan does this morning, God has to approve what He's doing. Bible says He grants him. He's a prince of the power of this world. He's a little g god of this world. You know what, who gave Him that power? God did. I believe Martin Luther said, the devil, he's God's devil. I tell you, he's God's devil. You know what? God owns him. God controls him. Every power he has, God has. And you know what? He gave it to him. You look at Job. Job said, you know what? The devil went to God and said, you know what, Job, He's just blessing you because everything you've done, everything you blessed Him with, that's why Job's living right for you. It's because all your blessings. He said, you take down that hedge He said, you allow me to touch his life. He said, he'll curse you to your face. I said, that proves the devil don't know our heart. But you know what? God knows our heart. God said, he ain't worshiping for for what I've done. He's worshiping for who I am. He said, I'll take down that hedge. He said, you can do anything to him but kill him. When you find devil, I mean, he just run rampant all over his life, tearing everything up, killing everybody, just ruining everything. Even got him, his wife, broken and heartbreaking. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? She said, it's over. Just, you know what? She was just broken. She's broken. You know what Job did? The Bible says he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He didn't fall down and say, Lord, why? Lord, I'm doing what's right. Lord, I'm offered sacrifice. Lord, I did all those things. Lord, why are you doing this to me? No, the Bible says he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He said, blessed be the name of the God. He said, Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Blessed be his name. The Bible says in all this, he charged God not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't sin any. You know what? I wonder what happens if the devil touches our life. I believe a lot of people just worship God because of the things that he blesses us with. But you know what would happen? What if you lost your job this morning? And you lost your family, you lost your house, your car, you lost all your friends, and then your so-called friends, they show up and say, well, Varun, everything you're going through, he's just sinning. He's out of God's will. That's why the things he's going through, that's why what happened. He should just get right with God. I tell you, it wasn't the things Job experienced. It wasn't because he was wrong with God. It's because he was right with God. I tell you, the Bible says Job, he was a man that feared God. A perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He said he was right. And God said, because he's right, I can trust him. I know exactly what he can do. He said, I can trust him in that fire, and he's going to come forth as gold. Can the Lord trust you being put into the furnace? Can the Lord trust me with the trials that he has for my life? Am I going to crumble under that pressure? I hope to God I stand firm. I hope to God I stand. Whenever he puts me in that fire, I hope I come forth as gold. I tell you, it's not confidence in myself because I know I'm nothing. It's not confidence in my flesh because my flesh is weak. But it's confidence in him, the one who lives inside of me. I can be confident in him. I'm not confident in a lot of things, but you know what? I believe the Bible teaches that God is faithful. He's faithful. He that performeth the good work, he shall perform it. He's going to perform that good work. I tell you, I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. You know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2? Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made him, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Did you hear that? The Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. He didn't just say he was high. He said, hath highly exalted him. I'm glad Jesus is highly exalted this morning. I tell you, he's not on the throne. He's on the throne. He's not on a throne that's low. He's on the throne that's high. You read over there in Isaiah chapter number 6. The Bible says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And you know what? Them things was flying around. They said, holy, holy, holy. Worthy, worthy, worthy is God Almighty. You read over there in Revelation, you know what we find? We find the one that's sitting on the throne. He's still on that throne. And you know what? It didn't lower any by any degree. It's still high and it's still holy. And you know what? The one that sits upon it, we find them things flying around the throne saying, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I tell you, he's still high and he's still holy this morning. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of all things this morning. Why? Because he's Jesus and he's Lord and he's God. You say, preacher, how is he Lord and how is he God? How can all that? I don't know this morning, but you know what? I believe it. The Bible says all three are one and they agree as one. The Father, he's God the Father. And can I tell you, he's got a second part, and that is the Son of God, and he's God the Son this morning. And then there's a third part, the Holy Ghost. And you know what? He's agreed with the Father and he agrees with the Son. You're not going to find a point when the Holy Spirit says, I just don't agree with God, but I agree with the Son. And you're not going to find a point whenever the Son says, I agree with the Ghost, but I don't agree with the Father. Can I tell you, this morning, they're all three going to agree with one. You're not going to find one contrary to the other. You're going to find one. All three are going the same way. And you know what? They're going against the world, they're going against the flesh, and they're going against the devil this morning. And they're all three one. And I'm thankful. I love all three. I tell you, I know all three of them. I can tell you something about the Father. I can tell you something about the Son. And I tell you something about the Holy Ghost. You want to know? The Holy Ghost, can I tell you something about Him? You know what? He's the one that leads inside of me. He's the one that leads me. He's the one that guides me. He's the one that talks to me. He's the one that shows me what I'm doing wrong. He's the one that sends comfort. He is the comforter. The Bible says it's evident that I go away, because if I go away, and He said, I can't send another. He said, but if I go, I'll send another unto you. You know what the Bible says? He should reprove this world of righteousness. He's going to judge this world. He talks about the things the Holy Ghost is going to do. But you know what? I'm glad the Son of God, you know what? He's my Redeemer this morning. He's the one that paid the cross. He's the one that died upon the cross. He's the one that loved me. He's the one that was obedient to the Father's will. He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There in the Garden of Eden, that wine press, he's pouring his heart out saying, Lord, if it be your will, let it go, but let it pass away. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see what happens whenever that olive was being pressed, they would take it to the wine press. They would just press that thing. They'd press that thing. And you know what happened whenever olive gets pressed? Turns into oil. That oil starts to leak out. And there Jesus, he was in that garden. He was praying. The Lord was just pressing him, pressing him, pressing him. And you know what started to leak out of his life? I'm glad that sweet oil started coming out of his life. The same thing happens in us. You know what happens? I'm glad that whenever God puts us in a trial, God puts us in that wine press, he starts pressing us and pressing us. He starts squeezing us. You know what's starting to come out? I'm glad that wine or that oil starts to leak out of us. You know what that is? That's a picture of the Holy Ghost. It starts coming out of us. It starts evident in us. The things that we say, the places that we go, the praise that comes out of our mouth, it's evident. Why? Because he's pressing us. And you know what? What's on the inside soon is going to be evident. What comes on the outside, I'm glad whenever a true Christian's in the fire and God's putting him in that thing, he's pressing him and pressing him and pressing him. You know what he's going to do? He's not going to bend under pressure. He's not going to break. He's not going to run out there and commit those things in the world. But you know what he's going to do, John? Whenever God treats that true Christian, he hammers him and he just hammers him and he just keeps hitting him. He keeps pressing him. You know what that child of God's going to do? He's going to say, Lord, I love you this morning. Lord, you're worthy to be praised this morning. Lord, you're worthy of all things. Lord, I don't understand, but Lord, I'm still going to trust. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this trial. I don't know why I'm sick. Lord, I don't know why I lost my job. I can't explain all those things, but Lord, I know one thing. You're good and you're high and you're holy. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. Lord, you're worthy of all worship this morning. And I don't like where I'm at, and I might stay here for all eternity, but you know what? I'm just going to worship you for a little while. You're good, you're God, and you're holy. Lord, you still love me, and Lord, I still love you. Lord, I don't know why I'm putting in this trial. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through these things, but Lord, you know where I'm at. Lord, I'm going to come forth as gold. You're still going to be coming out of my mouth as a praise. I tell you, that's exactly what happens in a true Christian. He doesn't run to the world, start complaining. He doesn't go out there and start sinning. But yet, praise come forth out of his mouth. I tell you, what's going to come out of your mouth whenever God puts you in the fire? Are you going to just bend and go out there in the things of the world? Oh, preacher, I just try to get through my trials. I just, you know, maybe get a, you know, some alcohol here and drink, and it just comforts me and just helps me go on about life. I tell you, no, I'm drinking from the new wine. I'm going to Him. I'm drinking from that thing. I tell you, that's where my hope is this morning. My hope is in Him. Let me finish this, and I'll tell you that Bible says that, and the Lord hath highly exalted Him and hath given Him a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, there's going to be one day that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, they're going to bow one day. Can I tell you, them God deniers, them ones that blaspheme God, those enemies of God, I tell you, one day they're going to bow their knee and say, you are Lord. You are holy. Lord, you are right. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're Him. I tell you, I'm glad I bowed my knee on this side of eternity. John, I'm glad I had a head-on collision with the God of glory. And He showed me who I am. You know what He done? He called my name. He said, Chris, what are you doing? You're not right with me. You're on your way to the devil's hell. You're a sinner. And you need my Son. Won't you come and get right? Won't you accept Him? And you know what I did? I ran to Him. And said, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you save me? Lord, I know I'm not a drunk. I'm not a drug addict. Lord, I'm not those things. But you know what? I was still a sinner. I was going to the same hell the drunk was going to. I was almost same hell, going to the same hell that harlot. They're all going to the same place without Christ. And there ain't no other place you're going. If you die apart from Christ, you're going to hell. And then the Bible says the hell and Deb was called up and lifted up. You know what? And they was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There ain't no other. There ain't no other ends about it. I tell you, the world says, "Well, you just go to the grave and that's it." And you know that the fire, smoke, sent forever. But the fire goes out. Bible says it's unquenchable. It's not going out. It's there for eternity. If God can make a body that can last through eternity, praising and worship Him, and never grow tired, never grow sick, I believe God can make a soul and a body that is in hell that will burn forever and not burn up. I tell you, Paul ran into God and said, Saul, what are you doing? Isn't it time you got right? Don't you want to be right with me? Don't you want to be doing right? And you know what Paul said? Who art thou, Lord? Then he said, what would you have me do? He said, I got a job for you to do. Why don't you go down there in the house? He said, I'm going to show you. You're going to be a vessel to me. You're going to go to them Gentiles and preach unto them. He said, I got a work for you to do. Will you do it? And Paul said, Lord, I'll do it. Can I tell you this morning, as I'm closing now, have you had a Damascus experience? Paul said, I'm right in my own eyes. You might be here this morning saying, I'm doing everything I think that's right. I'm living right. I'm doing what's right. I'm a good person. That's good. So I'm trying to do everything my pastor says to do. I'm doing that. I'm listening to my parents. I listen to my wife. I listen to my husband. I just try to make everybody happy. Can I tell you, is the Lord satisfied with you? How are you in the Lord's eyes? Are you right with Him? I tell you, if the blood's not been applied, if you've not been born again, if Christ doesn't live inside of you, you're not right with God. And if you die, you'll end up in the devil's hell. See, God might shine the light on you this morning, saying the preacher's talking to you. That preacher's right. You've been trying to do it your way. You think you're right in your own eyes, but you're not right. I tell you, the Holy Ghost might be speaking in your heart right now. He's got that heavenly flashlight shined on your heart, saying you're wrong. You're wrong. You need to get right. You need to get right. You might be saying, I think I'm right. I'm doing everything right. I tell you, why don't you just listen to that voice? I tell you, it's not your flesh. The flesh ain't going to tell you to go up there and get right. I tell you, the flesh runs from God. The flesh don't want to embarrass itself. I tell you, the devil's not going to tell you to get right with God. The devil's going to tell you to do it later. But you know what that voice is? That voice is God. And that voice is telling you, why don't you get right? Now's the time. The Bible says, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. I tell you, over there in Acts chapter, I don't even know where it's at, but we find Paul standing before King Agrippa. He said, Lord, King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. He said, I wasn't disobedient. He said, I listened to that. I listened to the Lord. I listened to what He said to do. He said, I'm thankful I done it. Are you going to be obedient this morning to the voice of God? If you died right now, do you know for sure that you'd end up in heaven? Do you know that you know that you know? I'm not asking you, have you been saved? I tell you, we go out there and we knock, we witness, we talk to people. Yeah, I've been saved, preacher. I'm all right. You been born? Yeah, I've been born again. Been born again about 3 or 4 times. But then you start talking about Jesus. I tell you, it just changes. The conversation and people's manners change when you mention Jesus. Why? Because He's just not a good guy. He's the Lord and He's God. But does Jesus live with you? Are you in? Do you abide with Jesus? And you know what that? Well. Now that you talk about that, I don't really know. I remember saying a prayer. I remember coming up there crying. And I remember the pastor saying, well, you're saved now. I tell you, I wouldn't go with any other person's word. I tell you, I'm not basing my salvation on what my pastor said. I'm not basing my salvation on what my mama or my daddy told me. I'm not basing my salvation on what anybody's told me. I'm basing on my salvation on what He said and what He done for me and what I cried unto Him. Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made in salvation. Bible says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him. Bible says in Romans 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say might be. It says shall be saved. Have you called upon that name? That name that's above every name. Have you called upon that name that's holy? Have you caught upon that name that one day all knees are going to bow and all tongues are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father? Have you caught upon that name yet? If not, today's your day. Today could be your day to get born again, to get birthed in the family of God, and to be off the path of going to hell, on the path of going to heaven. As we stand all over the house this morning. Macy, do you think you could sing that song, Run to Jesus, this morning? Do you think you could do that? And she's pulling that up. I just feel like the Lord just told me to do that. Scott, I'm sorry I saw you coming up, but you know what? The Lord just put His finger on that and said, have her sing that song. I'm just going to obey God this morning. Is that all right? Amen. I say, I don't even know what time it is. I took my watch off. I'm just going to obey Him. I say, I believe we get so accustomed to, you know, getting out by a certain time and doing this and doing that. Let's just let God be God this morning. Let's just let Him be in charge of the service. I say, I still believe in pastoral authority, but you know what? I still believe God's God this morning. I believe God's speaking to somebody. Can I tell you what? Christians, you be praying. Be praying this morning. God's talking to somebody this morning. Preacher, how do you know that? Because I know the voice of God. Bible says in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. I tell you, have you had your Damascus experience? As she starts to sing, I tell you, bow your head and close your eyes this morning. Christians, you pray. If you're lost this morning, why don't you come? I tell you, why don't you come? You think about that. Are you right with God this morning? Well, preacher, I think I'm right. I'm doing everything I think. Well, preacher, I'm doing what the pastor said do. I'm doing what mama or daddy said do. I'm doing what my wife or my husband said do. Lord, I'm just trying to stay afloat, preacher. I just don't know. I don't know about anything anymore. I just try and try and try. I tell you, why don't you try Christ? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why don't you try the Lord this morning? Well, preacher, I tried alcohol and I tried drugs and I tried this and that. Why don't you give Him a try? I tell you, He'll satisfy your soul. He'll satisfy your every need. He's Jesus this morning. He's Lord. And He loves you. I tell you, look at the manger where he came to be born. He loves you. You look at that cross where He died. He loves you. You look at that empty tomb this morning. He loves you. You look at that throne on glory. Sit high. He loves you. And you know what? One day He's coming back because He loves you this morning. If you're lost, why don't you come?